Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Spring? Is that you? Warmer temps mean new Allbirds styles. Meet the Superlight Collection, the lightest ever shoes from Allbirds, now in fresh colors. These must-have travel shoes have a lighter-than-air feel and barely-there fit that made them the most packable shoes ever. That means more comfort and less baggage. Try the Superlight Tree Runner with a cushy foam midsole and breathable eucalyptus fiber upper. Plus, they're comfy right out of the box. So what can you do in a Superlight shoe? What can't you do is the better question. And because they're super packable, the real question is, where are you taking them? Experience how Allbirds redefines comfort. Visit Allbirds.com and use code SUPER24 for a free pair of socks with a purchase of $48 or more. That's Allbirds.com. Code SUPER24.
Wake up. Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. It is CPI day. Today is the day we're going to get what I am judging to be the most important economic data point right now, more important than the jobs number, more important maybe even than like Fed speak, right? Because it's inflation. It's the number that is looming over all of our lives right now. So that'll be at 8:30. We are going to be watching for that, reacting to that today. But we have other things to discuss. We got to talk about Biogen. Biggest news after hours yesterday was out of Biogen. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about China this morning. Have you guys seen China this morning? Alibaba, JD, Baidu, they had some inflation that wasn't as high as the expectations. So China going up this morning. And we'll find out if the U.S. gets to copy that in around a half hour or so. Sean Emery is our guest today from Avery & Company. Excited to have him on. He has some growth stocks. Yes, I said growth stocks. That he is ready to pitch our way. So let's get to it. Hit that like button and tell your friends.
This is Pre-Market Prep with Joel Conin, Dennis Dick, and Spencer Israel.
All right. It is the three best friends anyone could have. Spencer, Joel, Dennis. What's up, guys? How are we doing?
Good morning. Good morning. We're in the green here. 5.25 handles, 47.10 1/4. Stuck through Thursday's high. Pre-market, that was 15.75. We'll keep an eye on that. Pre-market low, not much there, 46.95. Crude continuing to rip higher, up 33 cents, 81.55. Gold getting back over 1,800, up 50 cents at 1,819. Silver just up a couple pennies, 22.83. Bitcoin finding support at 40K, up 545 at 43,350. Ethereum futures going the same way, up $77.50 at 33,1950. CPI day, as Spencer mentioned. We got a lot of green on the screen, just like yesterday, Triple D. Little bounce back, right? Yeah. This market can't keep it down.
It's still chopped, though. I mean, even yesterday, we were up 30 handles when we started very early in the AM. By the time the show had come around, we'd given a lot of that back. And then we ended up going down 30 handles, which is just an incredible turn when you think about it. And obviously, you know, we came around and they liked what Powell was saying, and then they bought. So, I mean, I guess you're buying dips, selling rips, shorting rips, buying dips, doing however you want, but I'm just not buying the rips. I know people are getting the FOMO. They're starting to chase. It's what the market wants you to do. It wants you to get scared. It wants you to come in and be like, oh, I've missed it. I got to pay up here now, or I'm going to miss it out on all the money that all my friends are going to make. I mean, that's what the market tries to get you thinking. So again, you know, I don't, you know, try not to fall for the FOMO. I believe you're going to get more chances. There is some stocks. You may have some Johnny come lately stocks and haven't participated yet. Those, you know, might participate. You know, you do get a chance in something, you know, like even a PayPal here today. We have an analyst helping you out because that stock had a nice candle yesterday. And now you get the downgrade at the worst possible time for that analyst, but the best possible time for you as a trader. So, you know, you look at an opportunity like that. Maybe you want to nibble into some of that. buying a dip on something because an analyst has an opinion differing from, you know, what maybe the market's opinion is on that stock right now.
Lots of tangents. I need to interrupt for a second. I am aware that the topics on the screen are from yesterday.
Oh, no.
We're working to fix that.
Enver has COVID, so we'll forgive him.
Yeah, Enver and Mitch both have COVID.
People working in the background all have COVID.
Yeah.
So we're using that as an excuse today.
We'll give them the excuse.
Dreaded green screen.
Oh, no. A green screen.
The green screen of death.
Uh-oh, this show has gone off the rails today.
Can they hear it even through the green screen?
Okay, topics are good now. Topics are good.
The green screen of death.
There we go. Topics have been fixed. Okay, now we're
watching them all. There we go. Overnight. Okay, and I didn't know where to go, so I just started talking about everything because I didn't have the topic list to follow.
Oh, boy. Oh, no.
Where's Bert when you need him?
Bert is sleeping, Joel.
Bert's sleeping. Wake Bert up. So the overnight action, that's where we're going to. Joel, talk. I guess he kind of did talk a little bit about it. Do you want to talk a little more about the overnight action?
We've taken back half of that move, right? And we're back up near – what was Wednesday's close? I just wanted to see what that was. That's Monday, Tuesday, 46.92.50. So we're, you know, above when we got Powell'd. Back above 4,700.
Like you have lately.
Yeah. I mean, we're holding steady. I mean, that's it. There's not much resistance up here. If they like this number and they get it through 1875, there's air. There's really air up to some closes at 4770. You just got to, are people going to be booking profits from that, you know, from that really nice 2-day run? Yesterday, you had to pull back when Powell was speaking and you were hoping, you know, for stuff to get back down to the lows from yesterday. And it really didn't get anywhere near those lows. So I don't know. I don't have much in here. I don't have much as resistance. So let's see if it comes in like a soft number, then they could really rally this thing. There's really nothing up here until
there's nothing down there.
No, you're right.
You know what
you're
that
right.
equation equals?
Chop.
Chop. You got it, Joel. The trading word of 2022, chop. And how do you play chop? You fade everything. So, I mean, sometimes these moves are sustained. You're not fading, you know, 1% little moves, but you're fading. Overall, you're fading this, you're fading that, you're getting that whipsaw action, the headline number goes down. Even yesterday, if you're day trading, Joel, something important calling you. We drop in the first hour and a half, and then they turn around and they start buying them again, and then they seem to buy them all afternoon. We had 2 days that were virtually identical, really. You know, we got hammered on the 10th. Way down around 11 o'clock, they started their buying shoes on. They kept buying them all day. Yesterday was the same thing, just not as extreme, where we were down near the lows around 11, and they started buying them. They couldn't stop buying them all day.
Yeah.
So, again, I guess, you know, just fading is the way you got to be trading.
I
love this market.
You really got into my head. Sometimes I feel like Dennis is like a parent and he like has to repeat the same
thing. I do is repeat myself.
Right. I know. And you have been, to your credit, you've been repeating yourself ad nauseum for several months now. Yesterday, for whatever reason, it like finally sunk into my brain. And I just like everywhere I went, every chart I looked at, I was seeing yo-yos. I was seeing pogo sticks, right? Up, down, up, down, up, down. And I couldn't get out of my head. So, you know, I half seriously said I should just sell everything today and buy it back in 2 days after we sell off a little bit.
It'd probably work.
But it probably would work, honestly.
We're gonna go out of order here for a second. We go to China and then we'll go to Biogen. But I want to go to the China stocks because it applies here. What are you saying, Joel? What's up?
Oh, okay. Because I'm looking at the yard stream. I see what you're looking at here.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm looking at the schedule.
So we're going out of order.
Supposed to go to Biogen next, and we get in trouble. They dock our pay when we go over there. But anyways, China. Just kidding. China.
Okay.
So obviously I bought those couple of stocks. Yeah. I bought those couple stocks yesterday or four days ago. I bought JD. I said it on the show. I bought JD for the long-term account and I bought Baidu for the long-term account. I bought JD, I believe around $65. It's $78 4 days later. I put this in the long-term account because I kind of was liking the fundamentals, but I'm looking at this, and what's 13 points on 65? What's that quick, Joel? Give me that math. It sounds to me like it's close to 20%.
Yeah.
13 divided by 65 is 20% right on the button.
Nice.
I'm up 20% on that purchase in 4 days. I mean, I almost have to sell it. I mean, you just made 20%. You just got half the move back in 4 days.
That's it. Yep. I just put
it got
that
over half the move back. I mean, what the gift horse in a mouth thing that you always say. But I look at Baidu. I'm not up quite as much in Baidu. I believe I bought the Baidu at 143, I think, 144. I can't remember. Right in there. 145, maybe even. But 160, so, you know, roughly 10, 12% on that one, too. I mean, this is what you got to do. If those were on for trades, they'd be long gone. I stuck them in the long-term account, so I kind of, you know, was supposed to hold them long-term. But when you make 20% in 4 days, like you're saying, Spencer, why don't I sell it? Because I'll probably be able to rebuy it at 70 in a week.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, if you don't know why China's up this morning, they had their own CPI at overnight, and CPI in China for December was only up one. Again, this is what the numbers say. If you want to go into the whole thing, if you want, but the numbers say 1.5% is what inflation was in December compared to a year ago, which was lower than the consensus 1.8% estimate. So inflation in China, not as bad as the estimates were according to the government. And that is why all Chinese stocks are rallying this morning. So Dennis, great job here.
Great entry. I haven't done the exit yet, though. So do you sell it, Joel? Like when you stick it in the long-term account, you're not supposed to be selling and trading your long-term account. But when your long-term account, on a stock like JD, we're not in some, you know, flying biotech here. On a stock like JD, gets back half the move, is in the doghouse, gets back half the move in 4 days. Don't you ring the register? This is a small position. They're both small positions, but I don't know.
Well,
tell me what to do, chat. Do you ring the register or not?
It's bid here. I mean, can you hold out for 80? You got a daily high at 80. You got a daily high.
I know you want to stick around for the last buck or not when you just made 14 overnight. I think the bigger question is I'm not supposed to be I don't like trading my long term account. I stick something in the long term account, it's supposed to be in there not for 4 days.
Just stick to your rules.
And the rules cost me money a lot of times because my trading instincts are usually right. So I know, like, I've had some instances where, oh, I put that in the long term account. And then I watched all the profits fade away into oblivion and saying, why did I not sell some of that and then rebuy it right now? Again, not trying to trade your long-term account. You know, that's why it's supposed to be long-term investing and short-term trading.
8240. All right. I'm just going to give you some potential resistance levels if you can, you know, if you can just hold on to your hat first. I mean, it's already traded, right? So a lot of the price is factored in, but it's holding. I mean, it's just holding here. I mean, could you put a stop in at like 77 and forget about it and see what happens today?
I think you get stopped out on everything.
Okay.
I think that's just the way this market works. It'll like tank down to 76.95, stop you, and then rip to 80. It's the way this is the worst market.
Like 81.
Here's a nice educational 3 minutes of education. When you are in chop markets, if you're using the stops, you get stopped out on everything. You know, that's the problem with, you know, it's like the risk management's really hard in a choppy market. And that's why a lot of very good traders really struggle in this environment because it is just, you know, chopping. So it's hitting all the stops and, you know, there's not as little, maybe for whatever reason, you know, we're trying to figure out where we want to go. But when you're going like this, stopped out on both sides all the time, the stop is actually in essence selling the dip and buying the rip. It's really what it's doing. So it's doing the opposite. So it's tough to use stops when you have this much chop. And I'm not saying just throw risk management out the window, but you got to go wider. You got to give yourself more. Because if you're giving yourself like a 1 point stop on JD, you're probably getting stopped out 90% of the time because it's going to chop you up. So it's tricky. I mean, I've always had some trouble separating the long-term investing from the trading, and the trading creeps into my long-term investment portfolio. I have some hard long, you know, like, you know, I've had MasterCard in there for like a decade. I've had AbbVie in there since birth. You know, I've had Apple in there forever. I've had Google in there for like 8 years. Those have been great. And my best long-term holdings are the ones I never touched, the ones I never traded.
You know what I think it is with you, Dennis, is, and this is obvious, but it's like a momentum thing. The longer you've held something, the harder it is for you to sell it, I think, right?
And, yeah, well, you can get over that hump. It's right. Like,
I'm not sure what that threshold is. When maybe it's a year, maybe it's a year for you, where, like, well, if you've held something for more than a year, you're significantly less likely to sell it. But you have a very hard time holding things that you've just bought, even if you intended to hold them long term.
When you get out 20% in 4 days, it's like the trader in me says,
yeah,
give your head a shake. You take the money and run. But trading gods give you a gift like that, you take the money and run. But I don't know. And then Baidu is the same story. So those are the only two stocks. I think I bought something else the other day. I can't remember. But, you know, my main two stocks that I bought are JD and Baidu. And I said I put those in the long-term portfolio.
I don't know what you do here, because I also told Joel, you know, when it was just him and I this morning, and I was like, well, now if you're buying Alibaba or Baidu or JD now, at least now you're not catching a falling knife. And yes, I know they've already come up a long way. I know I'm doing it backwards, right? But I would feel a little bit more comfortable, like, taking a longer term position now. I don't know, bro. I don't even know what I feel. I don't know what I feel. I don't know.
160 feels a gap, but I mean, that was hard. You know, that's on the chart. Dennis, I know how you can really get them to go down. Sell half.
Oh yeah, I'm always wrong when I sell half.
Yeah, sell half.
Because then I'm like a glass half empty type of guy. So that's a lose-lose. That's a guaranteed 100% piss me off trade. Because if I sell half and it goes up, I'll be like, why in the hell did I sell half? And if it goes back down, I'll be like, why the hell didn't I sell it all? So when you sell half, you're guaranteed mad. At least. But if you're glass half full type of guy like Jeremy Newsom, then you'd be like, oh, you know, this is great. I still got a piece of the action when it's going up and it sells off. So, at least I sold half.
You know, this kind of feels like your trades for the turn of the year, you know, where you were like,
those are all wrong.
I know, but I kind of feel like you're right.
There's no doubt I was right. I bought $65.78. It's like, can I make the right trade go wrong by holding on too long, though?
Look at the monthlies, though, Dennis. Just zoom out. I think look at the monthlies on this Baidu, baby. Right, look at this. I mean, this thing could just be getting going.
Oh, okay.
I thought you were going to make the opposite conclusion. I was going to say sell.
Mortimer, get in there. Sell, Mortimer.
Hard. I don't know. And then Dennis's point about the stops only applies for physical stops. So obviously, a mental stop is completely different.
The same thing.
I mean, no, it's not. A mental stop can be massaged. Can be.
That's not supposed to happen, though. So I say stops. If you put up a stop, I rarely put the stop in there. I'm close enough to the market where if it gets to the price, then I would just sell, or you can set an alert.
Yeah.
So you don't have the physical stop on the book. So you don't have stop hunters actually running you. Which I don't know in this environment how much stop hunting is going on. There's so much chop and stuff. Maybe there is, but maybe that's always existed. But I always think it's better, you know, that somebody doesn't actually see your stop. So I don't like sending the stop to the exchange. I mean, some of the brokers keep it in the internal system too. I believe IB.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% on that, but I believe it's kept on the platform. So it's not like sent to the exchange where the exchange can do and, you know, maybe sell that order. We don't know what happens. They're supposed to keep it anonymous, but, you know, we know sometimes there may be some, you know, not as anonymous as you'd like it to be. But you'd hope that when your broker's holding it, your order, you know, it depends on your broker, obviously, that, you know, maybe they don't know about that stop. I think if you're at like a Robinhood and I don't trade on Robinhood, they're probably, that's probably not being held on the platform, but I don't know. Some brokerages do hold them on the platform. But regardless, I mean, if it hits your price, it hits your price, and then you're getting out. It's just the type of environment where stops are troublesome. And, you know, and I like stops, but when you're in, like, really choppy markets, you're getting stopped.
They get you.
Yeah, well, the best way to keep your stops secret is to keep them locked up in here, and then no one knows. Anyway, let's go back to Biogen here. Let's go back to Biogen. This was the big news of the after-hours session. Apologies from us to you, because both Joel and I had mentioned this and forgotten to bring it up yesterday or the day before. Because I didn't know that there's a hearing today, but the decision came out yesterday after the close, and the decision came from, let me make sure I get the organization right, the CMS, right, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and they were basically offering up their opinion on whether to offer Aduhelm, right, Biogen's Alzheimer's drug, whether to offer that on Medicare and Medicaid. And the initial conclusion seems to be, yes, they're going to offer it with a big caveat. And that caveat is it's only going to be available to patients who are enrolled in the clinical trials and who are showing symptoms, right? That's basically it, which severely limits the population of people who have access to this drug. So that's the first thing. The second thing is this is not a final decision. This is
it's never a final decision. Nothing's ever a final decision.
That's also a good point. This is the start of a 30-day window now where they're going to take public comments and then maybe reassess it 30 days. But this was the initial decision out last night. So it would limit access to Biogen's drug. I should note that this drug seems like it's been doomed from the beginning, and I only say that because you know the price was like $56,000, and they cut it in half, so now it's like $28,000 a year. Several major hospital systems have said that they're not going to prescribe it. Like I think the Mayo Clinic, the Cleveland Clinic, are just not prescribing it. So sales have been minuscule according to Stat News. Or I said negligible was the term that they used. So this drug, it just seems like it's been doomed from the beginning. But there's your Biogen news, and that is why the stock is doing what it's doing.
And just incredible movement on the headline. So let's talk about how headlines are written and, you know, how news algos don't dig into the details very well. I mean, the original, you know, first line, read us the first line again, Spencer, if you can, just from the release, because if you're a news algo and you read that first line, you're like, this is bullish.
Yeah. So the very beginning, the very first sentence in the decision summary, this is on the website. This is on the Medicare, on the CMS website. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, it says the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services proposes to cover FDA-approved monoclonal antibodies directed against amyloid for the treatment of Alzheimer's under coverage with evidence development. So basically, like the first sentence says, yes, we propose to cover this drug. But you had to keep reading to get to the part about only patients in clinical trials, and you have to show symptoms. So
what happened was you can see this initial spike, and it is a violent spike. So this stock went and closed Biogen, and I was watching this. It was lighting up my up filter. Closed at 241. It ticked up to 259 in the first few seconds before you could even see the release, because, you know, everybody's, you know, faster. The HFT algos are all over it, the news algos. So I'm like, okay, well, there's obviously Alzheimer's news. Biogen just ripped up. I even tweet out, just ripped up 19 points. And then not even 30 seconds later, they must have read the second sentence. And then they're like, oh my gosh, it's bearish. Pull the meds. Shut the news algo off. We're getting killed here.
Dennis, man, you are feeling good, buddy. Don't tell me you're sick or nothing like that. You are like, I love that again. The news all go, we're losing money.
Billy, get to the chopper. We're in trouble here.
That's Arnold, right? Schwarzenegger?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, Predator. Get to the chopper.
That's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right.
Schwarzenegger.
Right.
Yeah,
right. Okay.
Yep, his kid went to Michigan, I think. Maria's kid. What do you do here, Dennis?
But anyways, they pulled the rug out from under it, and then it fell 40 straight bucks in the next like 10 seconds. So news algo assassinated on it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm long Biogen this is one of the first stocks I've ever bought. I think I've honestly owned this for 17 years. I'm not joking. I might have even owned this for 20 years. I'm in from $35 or $40. I mean, I'm up 1,000% or whatever it is. I guess it's not anymore because the stock's come down so far. I probably should have sold at 450 and rebought it all here, but I'm holding. I'm in it forever. So the stock's actually cheap. I mean, you know, we all know this drug is a lottery ticket. It's not the be-all, end-all. The company, you know, is maybe out of favor, but you got great support down here at 215.
Yeah,
if I didn't own any, I'd probably buy the dip, to be honest, because I don't think they're going to hammer this 40-50 bucks, because you know what, they make so much other money from other stuff, and this company is huge. I mean, and Lilly's getting hit on this too. It's not the death of the drug, it's not the end of the drug, And obviously, when everybody's buying it up at 450, you know, that was capitulation
that
to
was
the upside.
Crazy.
Yeah,
crazy.
Down $22 because Medicare is not going to cover it. And you know, obviously, it's not great news. But at the same time, this drug is not all this was a lottery ticket for Biogen. We never thought this drug would get approved anyways.
Yeah. What if the people in the trial, you know, that use it and get positive results? I don't know how long you're going to have to wait for that. But
it's such a small number of people, though. You know what I mean? Is like, yeah. That's. So Joel's right, but that would take a while to play out.
It's very expensive. There's a lot of side effects. It's tough to manage.
I think if you're dumping it now, though, like, I don't know. Maybe it's an ugly stock's been a downtrend for ever since the 450 that day. So, yeah, anyhow, but it's pulled enough. What's a P on this thing? Like 7? Seriously, we're in a value-oriented market. What is the P on Biogen?
No, it's not.
It's under 10.
It's not that low. No, it's not. It's like,
where is it?
It's in the 30s. Oh, I'm not aware. I'm on the wrong number.
There's no way. I wouldn't own it if it was in the 30s.
I was looking at market cap. The forward P is 12. Okay, so
12.
You win this round.
Yeah, 12. I mean, that's par for the course for a lot of these pharmaceutical companies. So I don't know. You're dumping it here because, that's not covering. I'm not saying it's going to bounce back, but I don't think it's going down $50 today. So
folks are getting bullish here ahead of the report here. We're just inching up.
Cover
those
shorts.
We got it. CPI. Oh, I just want to thank everyone in the chat for acknowledging my amazing joke that these guys did not even get before, but that's
I
okay.
Missed it all together.
I stopped to emphasize it, and you still missed it.
We didn't know.
I said Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Were you making fun of me the way I said
Schwarzenegger? Oh my gosh. Okay, we're moving on.
Shorts. Okay.
Shorts.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't catch shorts. Shorts.
The chat must be channeling Spencer. I don't know on that one. I know
I
you said it. I know I kind of stuttered when I
this
said it.
Brutal. This is brutal. All right, let's move away.
Schwarzenegger.
Let's talk about
shorts are taking
else,
over.
Man. Let's talk right. about.
I got okay. it.
Skip on over down to CPI because that's what we have here coming up in
four minutes. I got to go wide here. I talked to you for one more minute, but then I got to go wide.
Four minutes. Okay, here are the expectations. Again, you can argue whether these are even useful, but we have to measure against something, right? So there's two things we can measure against. We can measure against the estimates, and we can measure against last month's figure, which is what we're going to do here today. So the estimate for today is for CPI in December to have gone up 0.4% month over month, and then that would be a 7% year-over-year increase. Those are the estimates. 0.4% month-over-month, 7% year-over-year. Core CPI, which excludes food and energy, would come in at 0.5% month-over-month and 5.5% year-over-year. So those are our numbers, key numbers here, 0.4 and 7. 0.4 and 7 are your regular old CPI numbers, and we're going to watch and see what comes in. And this will inform the conversation for the day, basically, because this is it. This is inflation. This is what.
How are you feeling, Joel?
I mean, there's no reason. I mean, if you're shorting into this thing, there's not much there. So if it takes out the pre-market high, you got to go. Now, if it's a super hot number and we start to come down.
So hot.
Yeah. The close. Keep an eye on the close at 05. So that's it. I mean, when I tell you I can't find resistance, folks, I you know, I'm not joking. That doesn't mean there isn't any out there.
There ain't a lot of support either is a problem.
Yeah.
Chop is going to be the word. I'm going to say it again. We're going to see a fake out one way. We're going to say a fake out the other way. We're going to see 5 fake outs before we get a trend. I'm going to call that.
Yes.
Well, what about like the way the off the what was the last number that we had, the unemployment number, the futures moved and the stocks didn't. Remember that? That was so strange.
But, it could happen again.
Yeah.
If you see there's so much chop, it's like, okay, well, I'm going to go hit the bid. Oh, wait, the futures are bouncing back. I'm going to go take lift that offer. Oh, wait, they're selling off again. It's kind of how it goes. I mean, the algos are on it, but they're not on it at the same time. You know, you go during the day, 9:30, they're all online, 8:30, they're like, oh, we don't know the exact value, so we just won't trade.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, I'm going wide. You guys have 2 minutes to discuss things amongst yourselves.
So for reference, if the estimates are correct here, it would be the eighth month in a row of inflation above 5%. And, you know, it's funny because for how many years the Fed said, yeah, we're comfortable with like 2%, 3%, but we don't really want inflation going above that. And then they say, yeah, we're actually, never mind. We're going to let inflation go. It has been going. So again, 7% year over year would be your headline estimate for the day. Let's see how the number compares to that. We're going to be watching, obviously, autos, right, is a big one, right? Durable goods is a big one, right? Food, gas, these are all the things that people experience every day. So going to be watching all that. We have under a minute now. Joel, if you can, pull up the S&P futures.
I do. I got the minute chart here. Leaning bullish into the report. I'm just that little pop, so that makes me bearish. But let's just see what happens. That pre-market high is 1817 or 1875, and Thursday's high was right in that area. So, you know, 3 points. You can't say it really went through it. Coming back on the downside, the only thing I can give you is that close at 47.05. They just whooshed her down and back up. Wow. Yeah,
the number's not even out yet.
And the order's not even out. Look at that. Holy mackerel. Someone, you talk about stop hunting right there. Holy mackerel. What a move. And the number's still not out. Someone got the number. I'm telling you. And it's good. Right? We had to quit. We printed like 0.7.
There we go. It was right in line. Sorry, I was refreshing the page and it didn't refresh until it didn't update until my third refresh. But it wasn't in line, right? CPI 7% in December, which is right where estimates were, right? And it's a smidgen above the November's reading. November was 6.8%. So 7% year over year, estimates were right in line there. Month over month, 0.5%. Estimates were pretty much in line there. I'm not going to split hairs between 0.5 and 0.4%. So the estimates were pretty much on the ball here. Okay. So there we go.
I'm going to do a reset here. I mean, that 07 print, I'm going to throw that out, and I'm going to throw out the 2575 print, and I'm just going to stick with the real, you know, that 1875. We're starting to tail off a little bit. But boy, someone jumped the gun here. Hold it steady. We were right at this area before the number. Nothing definitive here. Just went wide and just got a lot of people. Now it seems like firming up, catching a bit. Told you there wasn't much.
When you're hiring, it feels amazing to finally close out a job search. But what if you could get rid of the search and just match? You can with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. In the minutes I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/prep. Just go to Indeed.com/prep right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/prep. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Up here as far as resistance, I can't see. Now, once again, the stocks are, they're not ticking. Like, I'm looking at JP Morgan. It's up 49 cents at 67.98. They're waiting. I thought Apple's moving within a 10-15 cent range. But I think they like it. I think they like what Mr. How Mr. Powell's engineering this.
I mean, if you want to, you know, if you have a bone to pick, you could say, well, core CPI came in a little bit higher than expected. Core CPI came in at 0.6% versus the 0.5% month over month estimate there. So food and energy, take that out of the equation, and core CPI came, and CPI came in a little higher. But yeah, I mean, all things considered, this is actually a pretty
Good number.
I mean, it's not crazy one way or the other, right? And I think that's what the market wants to see. And that's also probably what they're extrapolating Jerome Powell wants to see, right? And the Fed wants to see. So, yeah, all in all, I'm you know, I'm looking around just as you are, Joel. I'm looking for movers here. You know, the TLT did move up a little bit.
Yeah, what's the TLT do? I'm still looking. I mean, is this stock in my quotes? I mean, JP Morgan, 68.13. Up 64 cents. I'm looking at the top components, and they're hardly ticking here. Tesla's moving a little bit. We're ripping higher.
This is always, though. This is when you have chop like this and you don't have directional, they won't move. They're trying to figure it out. Because how do you do it? You got to think the logic behind it, what's happening. Because it's not HFT algorithms running the pre-market. They run it a little bit. They'll run it on S&Ps against the futures. But it's hard to do the stocks because half of the S&P isn't even like got a decent market. So it's hard to run it. So you have humans. So the humans sitting there like me and saying, well, do I buy or do I sell? Do I buy or do I sell? You're still chopping around. So I'm like, if the futures rip up 25 handles, we're ripping stocks. But when they rip up five and then they sell off five and then they rally five and they sell off three and then they rally six, there's no, you know, it's hard to really get the feel as, you know. So obviously during the day, it's different because all the components are open. They can sell them all. They can buy them all. They can
do the arbitrage more efficiently.
Yeah, when you got S&P 500, you have 400 of the components that are sitting, you know, a 1% market, you know, literally 1% wide or wider. You can't just jump in and, you know, boom and go all in like that. So that's the difference. So if you see a directional bet where it's okay, this is obviously bad news, then, you know, and the market's tanking off it, they're going to start hitting the stocks. In the opposite, this is obviously good news. Market starts ripping, they're going to buy the stocks. When you see the stocks aren't going to move much because they're trying to still figure out where we're going. Because you turn around and lift, you know, an offer up on a stock 0.5%, now the futures all of a sudden just pull the rug off Monday. It's like, okay, well, I have no bids to hit. So it's, you know, even, you know, you can bring up a stock even like Microsoft. It's sitting 30, 40 cents wide right now. Well, that's not a lot, but it's enough. So
you don't want to give up the edge on something like that.
Let's go get Emery.
Yeah, Sean Emery lurking here in the background. I would like his thoughts, initial thoughts on this. So Sean Emery is the founder and the CIO of Avery & Company. We always love having Sean on the show. Let's bring him on right now. Mr. Emery.
What's going on? Happy Wednesday. You brought me on a good day.
Yes, we picked a great day to have you on. You've had a whole 4.5 minutes, Sean. Give us your super thought out take on that number. Go.
Well, first off, it's not as influential to us. Okay. Yeah. In terms of how we think about the companies, right? So big picture that narrowing in on the report itself, obviously when you come in kind of bang in line with what expectations are, I think everyone can take a deep breath and kind of, again, you're looking for deceleration or acceleration. I think that's what most investors are looking for, whether this thing is accelerating out of control as opposed to some sort of decel. So any sort of plateau topping is something that we're all kind of taking, again, a sigh of relief, deep breath for.
Yeah, and that's what the number would seem to indicate for now. Much of the same. I'm just looking at the individual, looking at the table here on the site, much of the same, right? Obviously, energy leading the way in terms of year-over-year inflation and utility services and new vehicles, used vehicles, obviously, you know, so more of the same, but overall, I take your point, and I am inclined to agree with it. Sean, you have a couple of growth stocks that are on your mind. You said you have growth stocks that you've been nibbling in. I think is that right?
Yeah, nibbling and then clawing at here.
Clawing at. Okay. Do you want to share those with us and tell us why?
Yeah, I think the three that to share are really two Z's and another, right? It's Zillow, it's Fiverr, and it's Zoom. I think three amigos for us. And essentially, again, these were COVID beneficiaries facing tough comps. A lot of what they have done has been fairly sustainable. I think you take Fiverr, for example, 2020 was a big year for them. 30 million downloads in terms of the App Store downloads going back since inception of the company. And last year they saw nearly 10 million downloads. So a third of their downloads came in 2021. So again, post 2020. So we saw a kind of an average download volume last year that was higher than any month in 2020. And I think that eludes kind of that sustainability there. In addition, look, that chart got absolutely decimated. And decimated means obviously the valuation's coming down. And we were nibbling and continuing to grow that as, again, we believe in the management team. We think they do have this durable marketplace that they've built. We do think 4% of freelancers are online, and everyone else is kind of word of mouth in terms of how you engage with them. And just like any other kind of commerce related industry, it's going to go online. And the one that has kind of these network effects on a marketplace, I think will win. Yeah.
You know, so, okay. So the three stocks you named, right? Zoom, Zillow, Fiverr, the charts all look the same. So like, how do you approach this? Cause I know you're a fundamentals guy, and you're also not like a super short-term trader. So you're looking at this from a little bit of a longer perspective, and you're relying on the fundamentals. How do you go about getting into, you know, the stocks like these when the charts look the way they do?
Yeah. And that's the thing is, right, I think you nailed it. They all look the same. And they're all trading together. They all kind of have this factor. You know, you were talking about computers earlier, and obviously computers, generally speaking, in the short term, will attach to different factors, right? There's factor analysis and things like that. And you'll attach to these factors, whether it's like the work from home, and that is a factor in a sense, right? That can be created. But when they all trade the same, I think, again, you can pick from the rubble and try to find things. So thankfully, we've been legging into these things. So I'm talking about small positions to building bigger positions. We have a target position that we're trying to get to. And just knowing the nature of how volatile these things were and the future of the perception of these companies, we were thankful to leg in. And recently, obviously, adding a little bit more. And futuristically, if there's any more pressure, we would continue to add more. So that's honestly it. At some point, valuation for us is that support, and not technical support, but just we know or have a strong belief that we're at a point where that true margin of safety is there, where the downside is from a valuation perspective, again, is much less than it was before. And that upside is just totally asymmetric at some point. So that's how we've been looking at them. Because again, they're all trading together. And that's what ultimately creates the opportunities when a whole space is trading as one, as if they're actually related. But Zoom is communications, Fiverr is freelance marketplace, and Zillow is the housing market, and they're actually totally unrelated in that sense. And again, we think all three have structural tailwinds, probably over the next decade. But if we bring that in, at least over the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, it's just two part question here. First, I was going to ask you, you know, about your time horizon on these, and then second, I know that you're trying to accumulate on weakness. Do you ever accumulate on strength on something, you know, on these issues, like, you know, a prove me point for, like, I'm looking at Zillow here. If it, if in fact it ever gets over 65, tell us your time horizon and buying on strength, but we also buying on weakness, but we also buy on strength.
Yeah. So time horizon is 3, 5, 7 years. Obviously, 7 years is a long time. But in general, like you're trying to anticipate that far out, right? You're trying to think of like what is the tailwind here for Zillow? Is housing moving more digital? Is Zoom? Is communications becoming more prolific in terms of how we organize and do this, right? remote jobs, is that increasing the use of communication tools, but also freelance work? Is wage pressure is going to increase the demand for freelance work? Those are the type of factors we're trying to assess. So that's ultimately what like the time horizon as it relates to buying on strength and weakness. I mean, in theory, look, at you want to buy on weakness, but at the same time, look, there could be that turning point where whether you start to get inflation plateau and the fears around growth related investments are no longer as persistent. That may be that moment in time where you get a couple days of strength and you know what, you're already at a valuation level that you're comfortable with. You already have a position that may be around or at the cost basis. And it's time to say, okay, well, most of those information or headline headwinds are somewhat out of the way. Again, that's a call you make at that point in time. So we will buy on strength. And as the business continues to execute, should they execute a quarter from now, a quarter after that, you can buy on strength as well. Because valuation does change, right? If a business accelerates and more buyers and more sellers join these platforms or they launch a new product, you may have considerable amount of strength over the last, let's say, year as a hypothetical. And you buy that. I think that's key. We've done that in the past. And generally speaking, we look at 52-week low lists pretty aggressively, and that list is pretty long these days.
Yeah, I was going to say. I just want to note here, broader market is the trend has made itself clear at this point, right? Broader market is rallying. Crypto is rallying big this morning. Ethereum and Bitcoin blasted off on that CPI.
Just fascinating. It's like I think crypto is an incredible right? In general, like the fears around inflation, yet this thing gets smashed for the same time period. And then here kind of you're getting that connection or correlation to stocks again in the near term. In terms of like risk on, it's more like a risk on, risk off, it feels like, as opposed to any sort of hedge versus anything, at least at this stage and day to day.
Yeah, go ahead, Joel.
It seems always that, you know, with these three issues, you're looking at the landscape of the markets, you know, from the last 2 years, and you're going, you know, with the, I wouldn't call these like stay at home stocks. I mean, I guess Zoom was. So from a fundamental point of view, you know, you're looking at the changes that happened, you know, in the workplace and also the marketplace with houses. You're kind of looking at it as like you're banking on these changes that happened are permanent, and that's why you're bullish these stocks.
Yeah, I think the housing situation is most people start their journey online, and 56% of all downloads last year were Zillow related assets in the real estate market. And so that's a big stat. I mean, that's some serious dominance. They're about ShowingTime, which is more of a CRM for agents. There's a million agents using that platform. Look, Zillow Offers was really the dislocating news that's really created some fear. In addition, like if you think inflation is going to run hot for however long you think, I mean, I don't know how you can think that without thinking housing is going to do fairly well in terms of pricing, as it's just a huge component of CPI. And what does that do for an asset that advertises against housing prices? And so that's one thing. Obviously, all the other home-related assets as well should do well in that environment as well. So, yeah, structural winners. I think that's the best way to characterize them. And again, you go back 2 years ago, March, April, May, June of 2020, and these stocks exploded higher. I mean, we were hesitant to touch those. I mean, it was kind of like a prove me that this is sustainable. We're 2 years in. Zoom had 350 million downloads last year. Teams had 175 million downloads last year. It's still a top, it's the number one business app in the world. Look, demand, we shouldn't expect the same type of usage or growth that it had in the past, but they do have a big audience and new products to attach to this huge audience. So that's kind of how we're thinking about it. Valuation wise, you're paying 30, 35 times this business today with heavy margins, nice cash position, and a huge audience to sell new products into, whether it's contact center, phones, and the like. So I think, when you step back, that's it.
I think the wild card for Zoom would just be as if they can come out, and obviously they have a huge user base, they come out with like another product, like something else. Like what's on the horizon? Are they cooking anything up there, Sean? Do you have, like, do you know if they're like got some other ideas, because if they could monetize their user base in a different way, I think they'd all of a sudden not a one-trick pony anymore.
Yeah, so Zoom Phone, that's number one. They have 2.5 million seats using Zoom Phone. 4% of their user base is using it today, so they're very low penetrated. They have 30 plus customers that have 10,000 seats, right? So they have reference customers that they can go and sell into. And this is cloud-based kind of communication, like phone systems, right? And that hasn't even evolved really at all. So we're really in the early stages of that. We think they can sell that. They also spoke about ads, right? And yesterday they were at a conference, and I think that's actually some of the stableness and maybe some of these tech-related companies is there were tech conferences all yesterday that everyone's getting to like ask questions and, hey, is demand slowing? Is it speeding up? Is anything happening? But ads, I talked about ads. So some of the free users, specifically internationally, using ads as a way to no longer do you have to have the 40-minute limit and you can watch an ad or things like that. So creating an ad network around it. You also have Contact Center. They tried to buy Five9. Obviously, that got shut down. But they're going to launch Five9 this or a contact center this year. We think contact center in general is a big space. Twilio went into that and some others. And then chat and messaging. So they're trying to obviously create the Slackish like tool. I think, again, I agree with what you said. And that's always been our thesis is you got to get past just a meeting and move into something where you open it daily as your email, as something else. I've been advocating buy an email service that's out there. One of the second, third tier ones, and or messaging platforms. There's plenty of good ones out there. It's just valuations. It's as they've come down, I think potentially they'll be more aggressive. They hinted towards that yesterday in the call, the CFO, that they possibly will be more aggressive here. And they also have a venture fund, just to throw that out there, is a $100 million fund. And they have 20 investments in that today. So they're definitely circling the wagons against things that use their service.
Hey, it takes some guts to come out, you know, and say, yes, we are nibbling and clawing at Zoom and Zillow and Fiverr. But hey, credit to you, Sean. I hope it works out. And we'll have to keep tabs and see how it goes for you. But Sean Emery is the founder.
One more out of me here. Why do you prefer Zillow over Open Door or Redfin? Or do you? Do you like those stocks too? Or is there something about Zillow that makes them more attractive to you? Open, OPEN, and then Redfin, RDFN.
Yeah, so Open Door is obviously more of an iBuyer or is an iBuyer. I think that interesting space and I think they could attach into a Zillow platform at some point. They're frenemies right now or they're more enemies now. And then hopefully in the future, they're frenemies. And you have the marketplace where people come to a Zillow platform. I think it's just scale. I think that's the way we look at it is the sheer dominance in terms of, the stats I gave earlier, 56% of all real estate downloads last year were Zillow related apps, whether it's Trulia, Street Easy, Zillow Rentals. I think that sheer scale is what we're looking for. The price you're paying for their core business is 16 times kind of the EBITDA of that core business today. Zillow offers will get off the books hopefully over the next two quarters, and you'll start to see that. And I think that's really where the turning point from a perception standpoint. Redfin, good company. I wouldn't say necessarily great company, just given their scale. I think it's a scale game, right? In this business, Redfin's a good company, so there's nothing wrong with Redfin. I just prefer the best in class leader there.
Sean Emery, CIO of Averine Company. Check him out. Also on Twitter at @_SeanDavid. Sean, always a pleasure, man. Have a good one.
Thanks, Sean.
Alrighty. The market has stopped going up for the moment here, but
we hit 30-50. Like I said, I can't give you a resistance. If there is any. So as the market matures here, going into the open, we are now 150 points off that low from Monday. Just got to get through the pre-market high. That's what I'll do. If we can hold up here. Get through the pre-market high, keep on going, sustain above 47.30. I have nothing. Dennis, what are you seeing out there?
We're starting to see some separation between value and growth. So they kind of bought everything off the hop, like where they chopped it around. But then when they started buying about 15 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago, they started just buying all stocks. But now they're separating them. Some of the banks have actually ticked lower here as TLT has creeped higher. So we know there's an inverse correlation between the TLT and the banks. As TLT has creeped higher and now gone into the green, it was red a little while ago. Bank America has now turned red. We've got Citigroup has given back all of its gains. It was up earlier, and now it is actually almost red. Goldman Sachs has turned red. JP Morgan has turned red. So you are seeing some profit taking in some of the value names. Burke is still up, but it's starting to get offered. So you're seeing a little separation. It's definitely more tech driven here this morning. Some of your big mega caps are trading higher here. A lot of smaller ones are building on those big gains that they saw yesterday. I'd imagine I brought up ARK, but yes, ARK is up 1%, having an okay morning here. A little bit of a continuation from what we've saw the last couple of days, where value has lagged a little bit and they've been coming back into the growth names because they were simply oversold. So is this the start of a new growth rally? I don't think so. I think, I think eventually they'll pull the rug out from underneath these names again here. I think if ARK, ARKK gets up to 90 on a technical basis, that was the support where we broke down from on the triple bottom. You can see back in December, first low, middle of December, next low, January, no such thing as a triple bottom, took it out. Now you come back up to that point to retest. Does the 90 hold? I think it does. So I think you're selling growth names into the rally as ARKK approaches 90.
And maybe they were just looking for a little bit of hotter number, you know, for the banks.
I think so. I think we look at it and we're like, okay, well, what do we do with this number? It's kind of in line. So what does that mean? And the market, that's why I was kind of, didn't know what to do off the hop, because if it's hot, we know where we're going. You know, if it's, obviously a not so hot number, we know where we're going. But when it just comes on and it's like basically in line, which for the most part, Spencer, you've probably had time to dive into it a little bit deeper. It still looks like it was pretty much in line with expectations, correct?
Well, in line, but also like in line with the estimate, but also in line with prior months, right? And so, and to Sean's point, what this number shows is that December was just it was a slight but acceleration, but it was an acceleration, right? Inflation did increase. So even though it was like we called it type of thing, the trend is still pretty obvious, and inflation is still going up, right? That's the takeaway. It went up a little bit, but it went up nonetheless.
Yeah, inflation's still creeping up. We haven't got a handle on it. They haven't done anything to get a handle on it yet, though. I mean, they haven't even started tapering, for crying out loud. So eventually they're going to have to do something to get a handle on this. We know this is why the market's been spooked on a lot of the growthy names and some of the other stuff, and why they've been buying the banks, because eventually they do have to tackle this problem. It's not going to go away on its own. I mean, the consumer mindset, it's going to be a hard thing to get in check, because the consumer mindset has changed. It has changed from being, stingy to like, I don't really need to buy that, to be like, well, we just went through a pandemic. We were locked in our homes there, a year ago, a year and a half ago. I'm not going on as vacations, maybe as much as I'm going to do, but I'm going to buy stuff because you know what? It makes me happy. And that's YOLO, this thing. Because we don't know like when the next, the mindset's changed, even on myself. Like I've always been like, I go in the grocery store and I buy what's on sale because I'm kind of cheap. I'm like, you know what? You only live once here. The money can't take it with you. We kind of realize that. So the consumer mindset has changed to be a spender, which probably continues to drive the economy overall, but that does not keep inflation in check. People are paying up and they're actually not minding. They're still buying the products despite paying up. So you get price gouging from companies. We're seeing this in a number of industries here now. Like I said, in the building industry, it's everywhere. Like there's just price escalation on everything because they're like, why not? Everything else is going up. We're going up too, even though they don't have to. So, and then you've got the wage inflation pressures behind that. That lags because people aren't making as much money. So they got to, make more money to pay for the escalated prices. So that's going to push up prices too. It's going to be a really hard thing to get in check.
There are so many competing weights and balances to factor into the equation here in terms of like, how to think and how to feel about it. Because you know, Dennis talked about us being in a spending and people willing to spend money. That's what you want. That's a good thing. You want people spending money. You obviously don't want the value of that money going down on a relative basis, but spending a strong a consumer that's spending is better than a consumer that's not spending. So I don't know. There's just a lot to think about here,
but lots to digest. And I just think overall, It's a really tough market to call. And anybody who says they've got to figure it out for 2022 is lying, or they're fooling themselves, because this, we can say, okay, it's likelihood that inflation is going to stick around. It's likelihood that banks, you know, but, you know, again, you know, when you're seeing a CPI at 7%, is it going to keep running at that, or is it going to go down to 6%? And everybody's like, oh, we're fixed the problem because it came in a little bit. I mean, Joel, I mean, that's what we're going to do, is we've raised the expectations
so high
of inflation. We're yes. not going back to 2%. Just like it looks like housing, you know, the market or interest rates aren't going back, you know, up to 4, 5, 6, 7%. They're going to go up and creep up, but they can't go up that high. The same thing with inflation. If we come down and we're only running at 5.5 or 5 or 4, it's going to be declared a victory, even though the long term, you know, if we go back to 6 months ago, the Fed's long term goal of inflation was 2. Well, that's long gone. I don't think they're going to see 2 for a very long time. Their goal is just to get it to stop going up. Like stop, you know, we don't want to start seeing 7, 8, 9%, which I don't think you're going to. I think the Fed will keep that in check, but I think you're going to run at 6, 7% for a while.
Well, also with the, you know, with the market, you know, holding up, and you also talked about it being, you know, market dependent, and, you know, instead of data dependent, you know, if the market keeps acting like this, then, you know, maybe 4 hikes are not, you know, out of the question.
Okay, if the market stays up, you're right. If the market can still be at all-time highs and take it in stride, they will keep raising rates. You know, as long as they feel like that the market is taking it in stride.
I'm going to start calling Joel Mr. Diamond after that one. All right. We it's 8:58. I know we didn't really do any ticker time here. Let's see if we can do one ticker here. Let's at least do one from the chat. I know
there was a lot of macro stuff.
Okay, here. Thoughts on GLD. Let's just do that. That's relevant to this conversation.
Inflation is supposed to be good for gold. We've been in the most inflationary environment we've seen in 30 years, and gold's gone nowhere. I mean, it can't go up in this environment. When's it going to go up? I think that the new, younger generation doesn't even care about gold. And really, what is it then? If it's not a store of value, like, or if it's not, you know, like it used to be flashy jewelry. I don't think you even see that much anymore. It's all NFTs and, you know, digital gold. I don't see it going to 5, 6, 7,000, even in an inflationary environment. So I own zero gold. I will continue to own zero gold.
Just from a technical standpoint, just looking back on since it had the big tank in the third week of November, this 1820, 1830 area, just recently we poked our head above that and then just gave it all back in 3-4 sessions. So technically, if this thing can get bid at 1820 and make a, you know, at least 2-3 lows in that area, establish it, then you got another leg higher and you can work into this bar. But this area, at least on the last 3 occasions, it's been resistance. So don't worry so much about the 3 highs. Where is that 1833 area? Is if they can they get a bid at 1820, build a new base, get out of this trading range. So that's what I'm looking at in the gold market.
All right, this has been a busy hour. We've got to wrap it up, though. It is 8:59. So, Joel, I will see you later at 3:30, as always, for the Expo show. Dennis, I anxiously await an update from you tomorrow on what you did with your JD and your Biden.
I never even thought about those again. I'm to trade now. If I think about it today, maybe I lighten up the JD. Maybe I just get out of the JD. It's such a big move so fast. And I think I'm just going to get it back. I think, honestly, if I'm going to sell it at like 79, I think I'm going to get it back at 70 here.
You probably will.
That's what the odds say. So, I mean, sell the rips, buy the dips, right? So, I like JD at this valuation now. It's not as attractive as it was a week ago. So, yeah. I think you take the money and run.
All right. Hey, if you have any feedback for this show, for any show on Benzinga, shoot us an email. Let us know. Email us at shows@benzinga.com. You want to come on the show? Email us. Seriously, if you have feedback, you like something, you hate something, we want to know all of it, good, bad, or otherwise. shows@benzinga.com. We read all of our emails. Thanks to our guest today, Sean Emery. Thanks for all of you for hanging out in the chat. Slow Black, The Thinker, PJ, Born to Be Free, Miss Whitehorse, just Thad, JC, just to name a few, Donkey Limits, Adot, Ray, Pete. Thank you all for hanging out with us. I'm going to hop off here. I'm going to end this stream. It'll redirect to our next show, which is Live Trading with Benzinga. Mitch will be there. Ryan will be there. Zunid will be there. I, unfortunately, will not be there today. At least I don't think. I've got some meetings and phone calls to attend to. But they got a lot to discuss. They're going to digest this number as well and take some trades and maybe YOLO some options if we're lucky, if it's one of those days. I don't know how we're doing on the like front. Not great is the answer. 303 likes. If we can get to 500 likes in the next 30 seconds, that would make me a little bit happier here. Hey, as always, everyone, please remember all the information from our show is meant to be used as informational purposes and not for investing or trading or really any life advice at all for that matter. Just general rule of thumb across the board there. We are not advisors. You know, all investing and trading involves risks, obviously, that goes without saying. All right, I'm going to end the stream now. It'll redirect over to live trading with Benzinga. We are not quite at the 400 like. Oh, yes, now we got there. Let's see if we can get to 450 in the time I'm done talking. What else was I going to say? Hey, the show's available as a podcast. If you missed us live, you want to listen to us on in the car or whatever, we're on every major podcast platform, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, all of them, right? Apple, Google Play, whatever. We're on every major podcast platform. So check us out there as well. That'll be a wrap for me here. And let's go make some money and stay green. And everyone have a great rest of your day. I'll catch you later.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.